I am Vernon Joins, and for the next few moments we are going to be studying signs, wonders, or a strong delusion. No man can hold the Word of God in disbelief and distrust and yet have a love for God. It is only in His Word that God has revealed Himself to mankind. And those who contend that nature teaches us of God and that we are not dependent on revelation usually go to Psalms 19:1, which says, in part, "The heavens declare the glory of God." But though nature declares His glory, it does not tell us of the mind, the nature, the attributes of God. And as Paul said, "What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. Therefore, we could not know anything of God, or Christ, or the Holy Spirit, or of heaven and hell, except God had revealed them to us. And divine revelation is the word of the Spirit operating through inspired men. Every revelation has come by the combined effort of both divine and human agencies. Neither works alone, and the Spirit is the channel through which divine revelation is given unto us. We need to have respect for God's Word as it is revealed, or revelation. And Paul says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. There is no spiritual knowledge apart from what God has revealed through His Word. For instance, we read, "Many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book," in John 20 and verse 30. What were those signs? Well, we list four or five of the many, and you can't name one. Why? Because God didn't reveal them to us. In Revelation 2:17, Jesus promised some the hidden manna, a white stone, a new name. What is the hidden manna? Or what is the white stone? The new name that would be given at that time. We already have a new name, which is Christian, but here he promises a new name. And you can't know, and you can't answer for one good reason, that God never told us. Again, how many wise men came to visit the babe Jesus? What were their names? Oh, you hear a lot of tradition, but you don't know the answers, for God didn't tell us how many came. So it can't be of faith, for faith is founded in and on God's Word, and He has not said. Don't try to ferret out truths that God has not revealed, for they're not truths. You must respect this principle when He said, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Deuteronomy 29:29. Now, if God has not spoken in His Word, we can have no faith in the doctrine that is taught. Let's take a look at the reason for signs and wonders as the Bible tells us. Now, God's revelation to man must be received in trusting faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But how is faith imparted to man's heart? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's your answer. Romans 10 and verse 17. To confirm, establish with certainty the words of men who reveal God's Word, that men might believe. God gave His emissaries signs, wonders, and miracles, and men did believe as a consequence of this. For example, Moses and Aaron did signs, the Egyptians and magicians could not. And they said, "This is the finger of God." Deuteronomy 8 and verse 19. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego left the fiery furnace unharmed, Nebuchadnezzar declared, "There is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Daniel 3, verse 29. Now, after Daniel left the lion's den, King Darius declared all nations should worship the God of Daniel, Daniel 6 and verse 26. The signs had confirmed the word of God, and it made believers. What about the signs which Jesus did? Well, it said that Jesus himself said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, John 4 and verse 18. And again he said, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel, John 5 and verse 20. The effect of these miracles is plainly stated by Nicodemus. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. John 3 and verse 2. The miracles manifest God's approval, for Peter declared on Pentecost, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. In Acts 2 and verse 22. God's seed of divine approval was thus placed on Jesus by those miracles. Lastly, John expressly stated the purpose of these signs. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. Now, what's the reason? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It was to establish faith then, wasn't it? In John 20 and verse 31. There you have it. Signs were written that we might believe and be saved. Now, what else is needed to assure salvation? What further confirmation should we expect? We still have those signs stored in God's revelation. And if you want to know about them, all you have to do is pick up your Bible and read it. You don't have to depend upon some modern-day miracle. But you know, the disciples promised greater works. Before Jesus left his disciples, he made this promise. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. John 14, verses 16 and 17. As Jesus plainly stated, the Spirit would not be given indiscriminately, but would be for his disciples who had had him as a comforter. Now, this promise was restated in John 14, 25 and 26, and John 15, 26, 27, and again in John 16, verses 7 through 14. As he ascended in glory, Jesus told these chosen disciples to wait in Jerusalem for power from on high. Luke 24:49 and Acts 1 and verse 8. It was this power that allowed the apostles to work signs and wonders to confirm the word of the gospel. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Acts 2:43. Now, notice the results of these signs. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Acts 5:12 and 14. Why the additions? Because the word was confirmed with signs and wonders. That was their purpose. Notice Paul's effort. Long time therefore abode by speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Acts 14 and verse 3. Well, according to the Lord, he was sure that these signs would do what he permitted them to do them for, and that was to confirm the word. It was essential that the apostles and others who received the gifts of the Spirit by the laying on of their hands, that is the apostles' hands, perform confirming signs, for they had no written New Testament at that time. Inspiration was yet in the man rather than in the book. Thus inspired men confirmed the word of God which they spoke. Now the Lord had promised them, I will give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm thee. Luke 10, verse 19. Was this accomplished? And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And he shook it off, the beast, into the fire and felt no harm. Acts 28 and verse 5. It is stated of those who saw this, they changed their minds, verse 6, and God's promise was kept. We know it because he revealed it to us. You know, some still are looking for signs today, and then there are those who erroneously and fallaciously oblige them by claiming to be able to do these signs. Now, it's easy to find those who are unstable and emotional, still trying to conjure up signs and wonders to bolster their weak faith. Not willing to fully trust God's stated word, they vainly try to manufacture greater evidence than a thus saith the Lord. And I suggest to you that a thus saith the Lord is all you will need. Often they misappropriate the promise. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues or languages, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In Mark 16, 17, and 18. Now, these false teachers claim that all this is for the saints this day. It is not, according to the Scripture. These things were for those chosen disciples, and he was only speaking to his disciples on this occasion, who confirmed the word as they were supposed to do. And you don't have to confirm a thing but one time, and the word has been confirmed. Now, this was the purpose of their calling. Now, confirming the word was what was done, or was it confirmed? Notice the results of the promise given and the preceding passage. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16 and verse 20. Just who are them mentioned here? Read the passage fully. Them refers to the apostles, and was the promise fulfilled, or is that word yet to be confirmed? You know, in Hebrews, the second chapter, he raises a question, and he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. It is pointedly stated that the word was confirmed by them that heard him, Jesus Christ. And this confirmation was by the signs and wonders that God gave them. After that the word was confirmed, no miracle of this day and age can make it any more sure. Therefore, miraculous signs and wonders have served their purpose. Now, there are some warnings that are given in the Scriptures related to this. And to those who are called charismatics today, the Apostle Paul wrote, for the Jews require signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 through 24. However, more than Jews now are requiring a sign. Hordes of folk on the lunatic fringe are claiming all manner of visions, hallucinations, signs, and wonders, and all the while they're refusing the revelation God has given and already confirmed. Even during the time of inspired men, Paul declared, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. And even among those who had gifts imparted by the apostles' hands, Paul told them, saying, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets in verse 32. This is a far cry from much of the charismatic hallucination and hullabaloo that presently employed by seekers of signs. Now we have this in our final thought in this lesson, that God has promised to send strong delusion. You know, Jesus rebuked unbelievers, saying, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." Matthew 12 and 39. Alas, it is so even today. Subjective religionists seek experiences rather than revelation, feeling rather than faith, and fables rather than God's promises. Now, these emotional exhibitionists claim to have had and seen both signs and wonders in the miraculous field. I don't dispute their zeal. I do not even dispute their sincerity. But, you know, you can be sincerely wrong. But having rejected God's confirmed word for emotions, this explanation is offered them. God showed the working of that wicked one. He said, "Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all the power and signs and lying wonders," notice these are lying wonders, "and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. That just about spells it out in bold fluorescent letters, doesn't it? And that is not my judgment. Those are God's words. And I suggest to you who are listening that God has lovingly revealed his terms of salvation by the gospel of Christ and confirmed it by signs and wonders recorded by chosen, inspired men. So Peter states, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Don't be guilty of despising the Lord's message. Join with Paul in saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 1 and verse 16. Don't be guilty of siding with those who are indicted by the Lord in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, but willingly put your faith, your trust in God, and be saved.